welcome to a chat and a guard with Monique A.J. Smith, where Smith is blooms in athletics and sports. So I'm coming to you this morning from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, where I was here to attend the fourth annual sports brunch, power brunch, luncheon brunch, celebrating the most powerful women in sports. And let me tell you, there were some powerful women in the room. And shout out to Latoya Story. What a fabulous event it was. So this is the fourth one, and this is the third one I have attended. And I have sworn that I was never going to miss one. So if you want to be on board for Phoenix, I mean L.A., no. Las Vegas, that's where we're going to be next year. The Super Bowl will be in Las Vegas, and we will be there with bells on. So, and I did see some members. I did see some members in the house. But, yeah, it was a fabulous event. And I tell you, just to see and hear the great information and the honoree. So let me just give you a recap. Sarah Flynn is the marketing individual for the boardroom. And the boardroom, a.k.a. Durant, okay, Kevin Durant. And what I was excited to share was that two of my former students are actually writers for the boardroom. And when somebody says, well, you must be doing right because those guys are exceptional. Man, you couldn't tell me anything. But the part that I was so excited about, that she markets the TV show Swagger, and I love that show. Now, again, no one is paying me to promote that TV show, but I'm here to tell you, I think it's great because I use it in class. But it is on Apple TV. But it's an excellent situation of talking about society and sports and society. Because the young man is a young, I mean, like middle school, and it's AAU basketball. And just a great, great show. So I got a chance to meet her, Nona Lee. Former Executive Vice President and Chief Legal Officer for the Arizona Diamond. She was given the Trailblazer Award. And Asia Wilson, Game Changer honoree, the world champion, Las Vegas Aces, and, again, Olympian gold medalist. But I remember when she played for Don Stanley at University of South Carolina. So that was great. A humble young lady. Don't you just love to see folks being acknowledged who have been so humble but have gone to such great heights? I think the panel discussion was really fabulous. So our very own Jennifer Lynn Williams was on the stage on the Women, Power, and Money. And what I love, she gave a shout-out to HBCUs. She played basketball at Chapel Hill, but she talked about going to grad school at North Carolina Central. She gave Dr. Ingrid Wickham-McCree a shout-out. And she talks about representation matters. And this is why I think it's so great. That, again, it was a mixture of races that were being acknowledged. But the key thing was they were all women. So, again, I've been in the business for 30-plus years. And I just remember the women that I saw. And I said, they can do it, I can do it. So it's so important. So if you can get into the house next year, be sure to get into the house because they share some really great info. And they asked us not to video it because they want you to be vulnerable. And so on that panel, we had someone from the NFL. We had someone from State Farm Insurance. Yes, I took a picture with Jake from State Farm. I sure did. I was fangirling with Sandra Douglas Morgan, who's the president of the Las Vegas Raiders, okay? I was really excited about that. And then they had someone from Procter & Gamble, and she was so good. And she, I want to say Asian descent. But she talked about how it was so hard. She asked to be, she's a senior director of Olympics and sports marketing, and how she was trying to, she thought she earned the right to be, to have football. And just to hear someone who's risen and been somewhere, I think she's been in this popping game for like 25 years, and to still hear the disappointment of not being respected, and how does she become resilient. That Jennifer Williams of USA Basketball, we all know that she is a former director of athletics at Alabama State University. And she talks about how she fought for her athletic training during the pandemic, fought for money, extra money for them. And so, and I was sharing with somebody that this was a winning athletic director. I mean, you all remember how many times I put up a trophy with her with various championships, and she still had to fight. So, and here's the beautiful part. She still fought. She could have been like, oh, I'm making the money, you know, but she was fighting for her people. So I'm going to tell you, if you want to be a director of athletics, be ready to fight every day. Yeah, it's never going to be a smooth sailing day. Be ready to fight every day. So if you don't have that mentality to wake up and say, I'm going to fight every day, you might not want to be an AD. I'll just be very, very honest with you. Know that, okay? And then another panel that I thought was really good, I think for me it was the best because I'm a former sports information director. So to see women who, leading women in media and communication, sharing our stories, and that's what I call myself doing through the podcast. You know, there's something about sharing a human interest, a story that makes you feel connected and you're going to watch it. That's, and you want to vote and you want to pull for that person. So we had someone from Paramount. We had someone from ESPN. And here's the interesting thing. I mean, if you don't realize, but the people who are on ESPN all started out, most of them, as newspaper reporters. And they had to learn how to take their trade and translate it onto the camera. And this one year, lady, Kimberly Martin, said she started during the pandemic. And she said her worst fear happened is she would forget what she's supposed to say on air. But you know what she said? I survived the next day. That's the one thing. You think about the thing that you think is the worst, and then it happens, and then you survive it. You something about that becomes makes you unstoppable, okay? All right? And then Denise White, an OG up in the game, and her agency does help athletes manage, she said, almost everything except contracts for salaries. And so she talks about the new entities in social media and how I had to learn that. And she talked about one part I thought was great, what I call the queen bee syndrome, you being the only woman, and you kind of block any other woman because you know they're only going to have one woman in one room. And that's how it was about 25, 30 years ago. You know, you'd be really hurt and shocked how other women are not having their hand to pull you up because, you know, the men are only going to accept one at a time. And that's one of the things that really prepared me to be that one to say, no, here's a seat right beside me. And let me tell you some of the things I went through. So she said when she realized that she was acting in that way, she was more intentional, and at one time she had only women on her staff. Yeah. So a self-awareness is really key. And the last panel was a panel of emerging influence of social media and marketing, media marketing. And I went to the Black Students Summit last May, and Facebook, where it's now called Meta, talked about they were going to have a incubator for athletes in their image and likeness. Didn't really think anything of it, didn't even follow it. Well, the strategist for that, she led the panel in this. There was a young lady that that took advantage of the program. It's called Meta NIL Empower Athlete. Her name is Alex Jean Glover. You need to check her out. SMU volleyball athlete. And she talks about going through the program. I did not know about Just Women's Sports on Instagram. She spoke. And then, excuse me, Athletes First. I became educated. So, again, here's the platform I'm on. So that means if I'm educated, you're educated. So, again, was able to engage in that. And then, lastly, yeah, I went and got another, went to another program to honor one of our own, Natalie White, who's the VP of the LA Sparks. And she was given an award, given Gracely Award. And she has a nonprofit that she created in her hometown of Fort Valley, Georgia. And she has an opening, a grand opening. She got a building at middle school where she played, and she acquired the building, and she's going to use that for her event. And I believe the grand opening is August 2023. So that's how you will be able to see and feel some of the things I have been doing in the last 24 hours. And I'm excited about today to share that to you. And that's one of the things I'm glad about, that people value the platform and want us to be able to share to you all. Another one of individuals, another one of opportunities, I'm really proud to be a gold sponsor of the Hilliard Solutions 5th Annual Virtual Women in Athlete Development Symposium. And networking, that's key. She always wants to make sure we say networking. It's April 12th to the 13th. Tickets are early bird sale now. So get your tickets today before they go back up. HilliardSolutions.com/symposium. Again, HilliardSolutions.com/symposium. Next question. Do you have the latest of Significance in Athletics and Sports magazine? Key, because number one, you'd be really surprised about who you would meet in the streets that have already been in the magazine. The Jennifer Williams will be in the next magazine, and I was so excited to be able to say, oh, yeah, so-and-so has been in the magazine, learn, their specialized knowledge, because the magazine is not about how you got to your career. That's what the podcast is for. The magazine is a place for you to put your specialized knowledge, your intellectual property. What is something that you have been able to correct at more than one institution? What is your thought process? What are the steps that you take? Because I'm here to tell you, people want to know what you know. They will actually pay you for what you know. In the sense of consulting, having you to speak, having another set of, another income stream based on your knowledge, the magazine does that for you, because guess what? I have a person that's in the latest magazine who is speaking, but the individual said they didn't have any money for the speaker. I said, well, do you have money for materials for your attendees? And she said, yes. And I said, okay, great. I said, and you can buy the magazine for all the attendees. So I told the person on the magazine, I said, you invoice her, and that will be your payment. And then you sign the magazine, and therefore it becomes more than just a regular purchase on Amazon. I'm just trying to tell you about this entrepreneurial world as an educator. I go out and I invest in my growth, and you get the benefits from what I learned. So, number one, you need to go get the magazine so then you see what I'm talking about. We have 4 issues already on Amazon. So just type in your Amazon, significance in athletics and sports, and all 4 issues will pop up. Now, the 6th issue, the 5th issue is in production right now. It will go live on Amazon in March. And I'm collecting folks now for the 6th issue. I have 2 spots left. If anything that I have just said piqued your interest, just email me, MoniqueAJSmith@SeedsOfEmpowerment.info, and we can talk about you, expert marketing. And that's what I give you, how to take what you know and how to monetize. And I tell you another benefit from it. If you're trying to go for your next, if you're trying to advance in the business, there's something about the process of looking at your expertise that helps you with your confidence with your interviews. So I promise you, from the 4 issues, at least 3 to 4 people have advanced. I was telling someone the other day, pointing, I was like, yeah, she's now athletic director. She's now athletic director. It was like 4. 4 women who had been in the magazine who were not sitting athletic directors when they wrote their piece, invested in their piece in the magazine. One is Dr. Ivana Rich. One is Natasha Wilson. She, after she wrote it, she was an AD. Janelle White, now an athletic director. Dr. Linda Bell, now a director of athletics. So if that's a path you want to take, let me help you. Let me help you. Email me, MoniqueAJSmith@SeedsOfEmpowerment.info. All right. Next. And she's out here in Phoenix. And when I tell you she's doing her thing, she's living her life in the media world, which is her world. She's out there interviewing the 2 teams. Look, she even took a picture with the trophy, y'all. Her name is Candy Waller. Candy Waller. But I'm going to tell you what she's doing for us. Seawall Foundation is offering media training for our student athletes. With name, image, and likeness on deck, this is so important training. Candy Waller, the founder, has extensive background in Seawall Sport Foundation. And I said, she's out here in Phoenix doing her thing. And so if you want to get the behind scenes of the Super Bowl, you need to follow her on Seawall Foundation. So Seawall Sports Entertainment on Facebook. She has some extensive interviews. But here's the beautiful thing. She is branching out and preparing our players for lights, camera, action, so we don't have sorry Miss Jackson moments. For more information, go to info@seawallfoundation.org. Again, seawallfoundation.org. And I was just telling someone a young lady that was at the lunch here with me. She is a current, she might be in grad school, but she's a student at an institution, and she's with recruiting. And she says, so what would you tell a young person who wants to be a sport agent? And I said, like I tell my students, or ask my students, do you have relationships with any ball players? And that's when she said, oh, yeah, I know all the football players. I said, well, great. So you listen to the areas that they are deficient in, and then you'll be able to be the resource. I know somebody can do your taxes. I know somebody who can do your social media. That is like providing resources, because you're not going to be proficient in all of them yourself. But if you can have, and here's the key, the people that you refer them to have to be people that you've already vetted, that you already know, because if they mess over your so-called player, it's going to affect you. How do I know all this? I read this book called Surviving the Life, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse by Tawana Smith. Yes. I mean, did you know that even though they get drafted, you don't get paid unless you are actually playing? Like, you're not practice, not trying out, not working out. It's got to be the actual game for you to get paid. And I didn't know that until I read this book. And the NFL purchased the book for all the attendees of the Celebration Bowl in 2019. So don't take my word for it. The NFL thought it was a worthy book to give to young people who may want to enter on the professional ranks. They bought it. So I think you should get the book and put it on your bookshelf when your students enter the room. You can say, hey, here's a resource that can be really helpful for you, okay? And so how do you find this resource? It's on Amazon Audio, paperback, and electronic. Again, Surviving the Life, the Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse. And what's the curse? Getting money and losing money. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Alva Amaker, Education and Risk Management Consultant, owns Vigilant Safety Training Center. She would like to say she takes policy to practice. The center has the following offerings: responder training, which is what we saw on Monday Night Football with the CPR, sports and event staff certification, which is the people with the yellow jackets doing your event. And just because you hire outside entities does not get release you from the liability of those folks not knowing what's supposed to happen in the middle of a crisis. So you need to be able to get somebody, like an assessment, to see how you're doing what you're doing, okay? And then workspace safety and personal training and operations. Is this an area that you think you may be deficient in but not really sure? Alva has an assessment for you to be able to see what areas you need to address. I'll tell you what else would be good. If you're working on a strategic plan, this is a great way to figure out what area you need to address. And again, based on my experience of being in this business, if you use this type of an assessment and figure out where your deficiencies are, there are grants out there. There are community entities that you can be able to tap into. Because this piece, even from a health and safety piece, all of that is something that you have to take into consideration. And because it's community related, you can go get some monies for that. So reach out and try to get that assessment. Go to Vigilant, www.vigilantstc.com. Vigilant, vigilantstc.com. And now let's come to the hour for our guest. And this is exciting for me because this is somewhat family. I'm excited to bring to the garden K. Kendra Warren, Director of Operations, Track and Field of South Carolina, University of South Carolina. Welcome to the garden, Kendra.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. It is so glad to hear your voice.
I'm so excited to be able to talk to you this morning, and just listening to you got me all fired up, ready to go.
Oh, that is so good. So I'm so excited. So I really am, because I'm like, I saw someone that you know really well, and I was like, I haven't heard from her. So he was like, well, she's got a lot going on. So I'm just so glad to just talk to you and hear your voice and hear the joy in your voice. So that makes me happy that I'm able to bring some joy to your life today.
Oh, absolutely. I've been looking forward to it. I was sharing with some colleagues about being able to talk with you this morning and your show and all that you do for not only me, but so many women in athletics. And so I'm excited to be here, and I'm honored to be here. So I just want to say to you and your team, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, dear. And so let's tell everybody your journey from college to now.
Well, the University of North Carolina is where I stepped foot on a campus as a Tar Heel, a scholarship there. Had quite a few schools looking at me, but when I went on that campus, it was something special about the people that was there. And so when I finished my 4 years there, I knew along those 4 years that I wanted to be a part of collegiate athletics at a higher institution. And so I started, I really, truly loved everything about my process of being a part of it. And so I just started talking to coaches. If it was an AD that walked by me or an associate AD that walked by me, I made myself present. I was always willing to, you know, I had to ask, but I was like, you think that, you know, that the athletic director at the time was John Swafford and Mr. Dick Bedore, I want to go down and them, and I was the 18 or 19-year-old, and I want to go introduce myself to them, and, you know, and so
wow.
they knew I was. I never had an inkling of I can't be a part of the entire athletic department just because I was a track and field athlete and I had to stay with those coaches and stay in that pocket. So one of the things that I even do myself, as I left UNC, I went to Emory University. I was training for the Olympic trials, but my coach was down there. But I was at Emory University working and training. And I would encourage young athletes at that time after being there working as a coach after I left UNC to do the same thing. There's nothing wrong with you, you know, going over and talking to the person that's over marketing. Or if you attract a athlete, go over and speak to the person that runs the finances. I did that at UNC. Her name is Martina Ballin. I made it a point to know her as a student. And it was building relationships for me, and so I did that at Emory University. From Emory, I knew I wanted to come back to UNC one day, and I just set my path on a journey to be able to go back to my alma mater. And I did that after being at Emory for a couple of years. I contacted the head coach, Dennis Craddock, and I said, I want to come back and be your sprint coach. And he pretty much said, you think you're ready for that? But Curtis Fry was the sprint coach there at the time. And he said, no, let her come back. Put her under my wings. And I did. I went back there, and he built a tremendous program there, but he allowed me to go recruiting. So my early years at UNC on the staff, I was the face that the head sprint coach allowed me to go into the homes. So I was still building relationships. And that experience really gave me confidence that I can recruit, I can walk into homes, I can work at any Power Five, and I can myself be the sprint hurdle coach for a men and women's program.
Mm-hmm.
And I took some time away from UNC when Coach Fry was there, and I had an opportunity for a couple of years to work 96 Olympic baseball for operations.
Ooh.
And so I thought to myself, I know I love collegiate athletics. I want to be in collegiate athletics as a coach. Opportunity in 96 to go learn some operations. And I went and I did that. I didn't make the team, but it didn't eliminate my idea of I can still be a part of it. So I went with another sport. And I worked with operations for all of the world's baseball teams to come and play their round robins. And I had an office with some friends, and we were right there at the baseball stadium, the Braves O Stadium. And so I had a year experience of bringing, working with a team for baseball. But I knew I wanted to get back to collegiate athletics, and right after that, Coach Craddock did. He called me in 99. He said, hey, I want you to be my head sprint hurdle relay coach for men and women. And so that's in my journey of how I really knew that I fit, and I was in a world that I had a passion for and I loved. And I became the sprint hurdle coach there at my alma mater until 2007. Wanted to branch out, became a head coach at VCU. And so around the 2008-09 era, my son was born. Well, he was getting older, and I wanted to take some time away and be a mom and a wife. And so I did that with the idea that I will be back. And fast forward 2020, the same coach that put me out in front of the world to go into homes and recruit, Curtis Fry, called me and said, I want you to come and move my team, be my DOPS for the program. I know you know how this machine will run. He is absolutely and has been one of my biggest fans, a mentor. And so that is currently where I am. And I love everything that I'm doing. I go in and I ask questions. I want to be creative. And it has allowed me to fulfill a dream right now. I don't think that I'll be there forever, maybe or maybe not in that role, but I do know that whatever I put my mind to, I'll go after it and go get it. So
wow.
That's my journey to where I am presently today.
Now, I am thoroughly impressed with the Olympics and baseball. I did not know about that. See, that's a pivot, you know. I mean, that's a part of seeing how you can cross-train yourself for your next. So what about that experience made you a better administrator in track and field?
Well, the entire logistics of bringing in everybody from around the world, a team, baseball players, of moving those teams, making sure that games are on schedule, making sure that people are on point, and just the whole magnitude of it, the size of it, and watching it, watching the work that we had done actually come into play was fascinating to me. I mean, honestly, it was in the short amount of time that we had. And it is a lot of hard work, but it was challenging. That's a part of being a collegiate athlete. You need a challenge. You need an end result. You need a starting point. And so I took all of those things, and I just tried to absorb everything that I could being there. It was already electrifying because it was the Olympic Games. People think about just track and field, and that's the world I had come up in. But to branch out and be a part of baseball and see that process take place was It was really one of the biggest changes in my life that made me realize that I can pretty much work in an environment and enjoy it.
You know, so my next question deals with family, but there's two things I want to say before I get to that. The young lady that contacted you about, you know, is my intern for the podcast that talks to the guests, you know, asking for the bio and their picture. She is a current track and field student athlete at Hampton University. Her father, yeah, I don't know if she listens to the podcast, but she's gonna listen to this one. I'm gonna make her listen to this one. But her father is the head coach at Hampton University, Coach Maurice Pierce.
A very good player was just with.
Well, that's what. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw that they both came. I don't think she realizes you, probably. Because they just came down from South Carolina.
Absolutely. They were just there. We had a phenomenal track meet this weekend down there, and Hampton was definitely there. As a matter of fact, I walked by them and we talked. And, as we say, Coach Mo P, know him very well.
Uh-huh.
A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful coach, too.
Yes, yes. I mean, and he's one of my mentees, too, because we worked together at University of Maryland and Shore. He was assistant coach. And because he ran at Norfolk and, you know, I was a Hampton grad, here's the interesting, funny thing, how it's going to come circle to what you're talking about. My current husband and I went to Hampton together, but we lost touch. So Maurice is from Newport News. And he was like, oh, you know T-Dog? I was like, yeah. He said, oh, yeah, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so when I moved back to Hampton, Coach P helped me move in. And somehow or another, I saw my husband's mother in Walmart. And that was, yeah, it's funny. It's funny. But even just talking about family and sports and how we're all connected, the fact that I know your husband plays football with my husband, okay? He was a freshman when I was a senior. Your brother-in-law were in classes together at Hampton University, Sean. When I worked for the CIAA, my first job was director of public relations. I had worked football at Hampton, but I only did defensive stats. So I was like, I need some help. Sean said, I'll be there for you. Sean came every Sunday. You hear me? Every Sunday. And look, then I eventually got him some money. He came to volunteer first. So when I say, you say Warren, I say family. Okay?
Warren, it's family. It's family, yes.
Yes. And just to know, now we all know, anybody who knows the Warren brothers, your husband, Terrence, has got a lot more personality than Sean, because you might even know Sean is in the room. But you won't know Terrence Warren is in the room. You
in the room, yes. That is absolutely true.
Oh, you know I know. You know what I mean? I mean, he got personality he could sell to other people. But honestly, I could probably bet on this, that you led him as it relates to being an athletic administrator. I believe he was following you, girl.
Well, you know, I have always been a planner. In the years that I did step away from my son, I also wanted to make sure that, you know, the person that was my partner in life was excelling in the ideas and things he wanted as well. And so, you know, a lot of pushing and a lot of And a lot of things he had himself, of course, because anything that he touched, he wanted it to excel at it. If he was running track,
right,
he wanted to go
right.
to the Olympic Games. If he was playing ball, he wanted to go to the NFL. I said, well, if you're going to be in athletics and administration, you might as well go try to be an AD. So that entails going back to get your master's and so forth and so on.
Uh-huh.
And so in our household, my son would hear the same thing. And, you know, so I have two guys that are very happy and well, they have a mom and a wife that's very happy. That would be me. And then they are doing extremely well in their athletic careers. My son is with NASCAR, and Terrence is in the athletic director world. So very fortunate, very blessed, and we've been around people that have really, truly mentored us. And so, but it doesn't take away from what I know I want to achieve too. So I'm very, very proud of my boys, and we're still working hard, and I am too. Because I know my journey is not over in collegiate athletics. I love working with young people.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Now, your son and I, we talk all the time on LinkedIn. And so when I tell you this is a family of athletic administration leaders, your son is working for NASCAR, right?
He is. He is. He's in communications,
wow.
And he started that journey at UNC Charlotte, and he went after some things from diversity programs to internships, going in saying, hey, I just want to see what it's about, and he's done really well. So he's currently with NASCAR, and he just got back from L.A. from a big race. And he just got married a couple of weekends ago, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I missed that. I missed that part. Well, look at the mother of the groom. Well, look at you.
So we're pretty excited.
Well, this
but
is
yeah,
the reason I say this. Because it sounds like you didn't go straight up the mountain. You spiraled up. You began your husband, your son. You know, you're in sport, still, you know, you get in, you have a wedding, you know, you enjoy each other. This is what my comment here was about soaring and supporting each other. And that, I think that's the beautiful part of it.
It is. And I, what I love about what you talk about is, as women, there are so many roles that we play, but we always adjust. We adjust. We make it balanced. We stay the course. We stay focused. And that comes with a lot of discipline and hard work, of course. And so we want everybody to succeed around us. We want to bring up the next. And so I say that because I'm around so many young women now. People say you can have it all, but it is true. It's a lot of work. You may get sidetracked sometimes, and you may have to make some sacrifices, but go after what it is you want for your family, for your career. And I like some people say, well, how do you have the best of both worlds? Well, there's a lot of work and a lot of hard hard work in that. But I never gave up on what I wanted for myself.
Right.
Never.
I say it's ebb and flow, because wherever the moon is, it's the attention, and you know the moon does move around. So you say when your son was younger, that was your moon, okay? Now your son is about to start his own family. Now the moon is on your side at the moment, you know? So ebb
Absolutely.
And flow, you know?
Absolutely.
Now, coming back to on the professional side, you heard me mention Dr. Hilliard's event, Women Athlete Development Virtual Conference. You attended last year. So who should attend in 2023, and how important is investing in your own development?
That was one, at this point in my life, one of the most informative symposiums that I've ever been a part of. And I think that any anyone that has an interest in the athletic arena. It just opened up more. It just opened up a world of how many more opportunities that there are out there. And sometimes we don't even know it ourselves. But I think that any young woman, anyone in athletics that is not sure where they're supposed to be, what they want to do, what opportunities are out there, should attend it. As a matter of fact, I'll be on the road, but I'm going to be at the next one in April as well. And I'm not sure if it's in person or virtual, but I'm going to be
a part of it.
And,
it's only virtual.
Okay. It is absolutely wonderful. And the speakers that she bring to just share their knowledge is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was absolutely floored at the number and who they were that was there last year. I had no idea what to expect. My notes that I took, I kept thinking to myself, I need, you know, how you record stuff. I'm like, I maybe should ask for permission, but I'm trying to write too fast, and it was just so much information. It was just important. It was important for me to hear and then be able to interact
mm-hmm.
and ask questions
mm-hmm.
and be my authentic self with my concerns.
That's
a good point.
She stresses the networking part. So I'm glad you said that.
Mm-hmm. So I walked away with a whole set of people, including yourself, that I
mm-hmm.
felt like I could call on anytime with questions and how to continue to elevate myself, always learning something new. And I felt like I learned something. I felt like I had gone through a whole course over a semester just those few days. But
that's good.
Yeah, it's a tremendous networking and just for information so you can kind of make choices off of knowledge. For me, that's what it was. I didn't feel like now I have to go searching. I have people that I can call and say, hey, I have this question. And again, just make some good choices, whether I stay where I am or want to venture out off of some great knowledge.
Well, I'm going to go to break, but I want to ask this question pertaining to this. So if you are in operations, why did you seek to go to something about student athlete development?
Well, I think for me it was, I know that everything that I do in operations, some people think is literally just the logistics, but I am interacting
uh-huh.
with students every day, all day. I am the go-to. and so the development, I feel like for me and my role in the collegiate arena, student development is also a part of my operations.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly because I went in after that particular seminar and I asked to also have some, be creative with my role at South Carolina and bring that in as a piece of my job. So I don't work directly with development, but I have a very good relationship with them. And so when our student athletes are getting ready to go out for interviews or they're getting ready to do certain things and we're on the road, I just incorporate that in as a piece of my operations world. Because at first I felt like I had to leave what I was doing, what I love, to be a part of developing student athletes and having that relationship with them, and I don't. So it helped me
a lot to know
that I can create and be creative in any setting if I go in, present it, and all of it is about being in service for the athletic world. So I've enjoyed that piece of that's pretty much why I really want to know more about that student development part.
Exactly. I think that's so important because people don't realize it isn't the people business. You know, logistics planning, you still got to be able to consider that you're dealing with young people, you know,
mm-hmm.
and how to communicate with them. And all the skills that come about all with all of that makes you a better logistics person. Because if you're all just about the numbers and we have to get here,
right?
And, you know, you don't even realize that. Honestly, I started at my therapy, and I was talking to the therapist about something. Oh, I told her I was addicted to Pepsi, and I am. I'm trying to be better. But she said, that has a lot to do with your mood, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yeah, maybe so. And so knowing that, because you think about, you know, that's one reason why the public schools began to have breakfast for the kids, because
right.
they couldn't learn because they didn't have the right nutrition in, and everybody just thought
right.
the child come from bad homes. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, so, you know, you're trying to get kids from one place to another how to perform, and if you don't
right.
even know the only thing they're eating is the cereal, you know, with the, well, I remember that they put milk in it, they walk around eating a little thing. They ain't not with just putting sugar in your mouth. You know what I'm saying? So
that's
all
right.
of that has to do with it.
And I can tell you, when we're on the road and I've done all the logistics and I've got us moved, they know that they can call me anytime. They have my number on speed dial. I am in the team room for whatever they need. I may have somebody say, I got to perform, but my nails and my hair isn't right. So we are off to wherever
uh-huh.
to find. Yeah, because if you don't compete to Thursday and we've landed somewhere on Tuesday, I'm finding a nail shop for you to get your nails done.
Oh, that's
so it's
beautiful.
Very, yeah. Yeah. If I have something, I don't want water. I want coconut water. Well, we're going to go get you some of that. It's so it's really a lot of relationships. And
okay,
I love what I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to have you talk to Alyssa. Because let me tell you, she's going to kill me, but I'm going to say it. Okay. And I'm going to go to break. I promise. But, she was a sports management major. And she said she wants to be a sport agent. And she said she was going to be a sports agent and be a sports management major. And I'm looking at her like, huh? And so she changed it to business. I said, you know what? I'm going to hurt you. But, you know, see, what you just said, that's what agents do. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
I said, you are. And I told Coach P, I said, you need to start having Alyssa do some of the operations. She's a track athlete, you know. And look,
absolutely.
She does all these logistics for me. You know, she works for me at Boo Williams. She'll help me find people to do my official table. She has the meeting with them beforehand. And I'm like, you need to be here. I mean, when I tell you, I'm like, okay.
She
so
has,
I wanna
she
have
has
her.
The opportunity. She has the opportunity to reach and touch everybody that you want to bring around and about. So.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is going to work out great. Okay, I'm like, you don't believe me. You listen to this podcast. And then, yes, and you already have her email because you, yeah, this is going to be great. Outstanding.
Absolutely.
So we're going to take.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope you can hear my smile. So we're going to take a short break here on the Chat in the Garden. When we return, we can continue talking to, do you call yourself Coach Warren or Miss Warren?
Coach Warren, some of them call me Miss K, Miss Kendra.
okay, all right. We're about to start talking to Coach K, Coach Kendra, Miss K, who is logistically having these girls win with nails on.
Hi, I'm Dr. Janice Hilliard, President and CEO of Hilliard Solutions. Are you interested in entering and advancing in the field of athlete development? Then the 5th Annual Women in Athlete Development Symposium and Networking Event on April 12 through 13 is for you. Since 2019, over 45% of attendees or enjoying their dream job in athlete development. Go to HilliardSolutions.com/symposium today for more information. Looking forward to seeing you online.
Hi, my name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving the lights? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
So welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chatting Garden with Mrs. Blooms in Athletics and Sports. Well, Kendra, I have another question, and I think this will help a lot of people. Usually the question would be, what would you tell a young person trying to get into the business? But my question is, what advice do you say to the woman who is older who wants to bring her talents to sports management career? And feels too old. How do you, that's one question. Second question is, how do you keep your relationships in the business while you're growing your family?
Well, I don't think we're ever too old to be a part of something that you love, because one of the things for me, I knew that I was going to be a part of something that I just knew that it would always work out for me to be in athletics, collegiate athletics, and even going back in as an older person, because I found my passion for what I love, and that was just within inside of me. And you got to always believe in yourself. I think that you bring wisdom, you bring value, and so going into that arena when you're going to talk to people and they may be looking for an intern that's younger or someone that's right out of school, they will value your knowledge, your wisdom, and your years that you've put into it, especially if they really want to consider someone older and having with some of the programs, and some of the coaches may want somebody younger. But however, once you get mm-hmm. your foot in the door, it's the world. I mean, the opportunities are limitless. You can so don't ever feel like you're too old to go back into something, even if you step away for years to have your family and to raise your family. I think that what you bring to the table, you don't have to say it over and over. They will see your work and other people mm-hmm. and other departments. And after networking, they will want you.
Mm-hmm.
That is
well,
fact.
This is true. And I am so glad that you wanted to be on here, and we appreciate having you. And we are out of time, and I appreciate you 1,000%.
Well, thank you, and I am honored, and I'm so grateful that you had me come on with you this morning.
Thank you, and thank you to Jamila Harrison, who are my eyes and my ears during this process. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for show guests and podcast follow-up. Join us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, and have a significant rest of the day.